The passage of Scripture tonight is Psalm 87. Psalm 87. As we go through the Psalms. A psalm of the sons of Korah, a song. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God, Salah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to those who know me. Behold, O Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this one was born there. And of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High himself shall establish her. The Lord will record when he registers the peoples. This one was born there, Salah. Both the singers and the players on instruments say, all my springs are in you. Here we have a city worth singing about. The Psalm of the Sons of Korah, a song, his foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion, and Zion is referring to Jerusalem, more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious are things are spoken of you, O city of God, Salah. I was born in a city that has a song. My kind of town, Chicago, is. Frank Sinatra sang that. Some of you are from another city that Frank Sinatra sang about, New York, New York. I don't know that song as well. I know it, but I don't know it to sing any of it. I don't even know the Chicago song totally. I'm not proud of being Chicago. It's the city of corrupt politicians and gangsters and Al Capone. And my grandfather, who died when I was less than a year old, was Al Capone's tailor. So I have that to my name. My mom told me that. My dad told me that. And that's not exactly a glorious thing either. I count the sons of Korah to be superior to Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra's not listed in the Bible writing any of the Psalms. And I count to Jerusalem, Zion, the city of God, superior to Chicago or New York or any other city. And this is especially true when you realize that God, the Holy Spirit, the ultimate author of this psalm, probably had in mind not just Jerusalem. I'm not saying probably, I should say I think definitely had in mind not just Jerusalem in Israel, that location, but the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, which is the people of God. And that's mentioned in Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I saw the holy city, new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. You might have recognized, I stuck an extra song in this time to our list of songs to sing, and that's number 345, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. And that song is taken from this psalm, Psalm 87. If you look, it says in verse 3, glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. And that's where that song comes from this psalm. There's other songs. That song was written by John Newton, the same one who wrote Amazing Grace. This might be his second most popular song. And another song I think could have been from this psalm too. That's Father Abraham. You know the children's song, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons have Father Abraham. And I think you get that one from these verses 4, 5, and 6. When it says, this one was born there, this one was born there, this one was born there. Father Abraham at least has the same idea as this psalm does. It is a city literally and spiritually built on mountains. You know, Jerusalem was built in the midst of mountains. And spiritually, our faith, you could say in a sense, is built on mountains. The law of God is considered a mountain of truth. The Ten Commandments was given from a mountain. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which was commentary, you could say, on the Old Testament law, and it was also on a mountain, obviously. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And at the end of that sermon, he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a man who built his house on the rock, like on a mountain, on a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And it descended, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And notice, even in verse 1 of this psalm, it says, his foundation is on the holy mountains. The foundation is something we build on. And we build on the Ten Commandments. We build on the truths from Scripture. That's how we build our lives. That's why Jesus says, the person who keeps these sayings of mine, not the one who doesn't keep them. Even if somebody hears them, if they ignore them and don't live by them, they're like the person who built their house on the sand. And so we're like people, if we keep these laws, we're like those who build our house on the rock or on the foundation in the holy mountains. And I believe the spiritual part is here. And there's another song that goes with that. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. And so we see here, I believe both is taught here. You know, Jerusalem was literally on mountains, but the new Jerusalem, the spiritual Jerusalem, is built on those spiritual mountains, the Word of God. Secondly, this is a song to sing everywhere. Verse 4 says, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to those who know me. Behold, O Philistia and Tyre, with Ethiopia, this one was born there. Verse 4. Now, Rahab here is a nickname for Egypt. And the word meant proud, arrogant, ferocious. And Egypt was a nation to the south of Jerusalem, one of the closer nations. Babylon, which is also mentioned in this verse, was an empire, a worldly nation to the east, and Philistia was the nearer enemy of all of these, the home of the giant Goliath, and it was to the west, and Tyre was a powerful city-state to the north. And so these first four cities that he mentions in these verses, you know, they all were enemies of the Jewish people at one time or another, and they're surrounding them, surrounding Israel, and, you know, some of them were very powerful, especially Egypt and Babylon. Philistia at times had defeated Israel, and then they were defeated by Israel, and Tyre was a powerful city, and then he mentions also with Ethiopia. And Ethiopia, compared to these other four, it was far away. And usually when they talked about Ethiopia, they were talking about a far away place. Like, you know, sort of like if we said, you know, China, we think of China as the other side of the world. They thought of Ethiopia as being far. It was a distant nation. And nobody knows for sure when this psalm was written, when at what time. Some say during the reign of Hezekiah, which would have been before Solomon's temple was destroyed, and it would seem to make sense. The temple's beautiful, Jerusalem's beautiful, it was strong at that time. John Calvin argues that the song was written after Solomon's temple was destroyed, and the second temple, the humbler temple, was built. That would have been, you know, quite a bit long, you know, longer in time. That would mean that the Babylonian kingdom had come and gone, and I mean, maybe not gone completely, but they weren't the rulers of the world anymore. Jerusalem would have been all torn down by Babylon, and they were rebuilding the temple, or had rebuilt it. And I think there's more evidence for this idea, because if you look at Zechariah chapter 2, which Zechariah is talking about the rebuilding of the temple, verse 6 starts and says, "Up, up, flee from the land of the north, says the Lord, for I have spread you abroad like the four winds of heaven, says the Lord. Up, Zion, escape, you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you, for he touches you, he who touches you touches the apple of his eye, for surely I will shake my hand against them, and they shall become spoil for their servants. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me." And here's the more important part, verse 10 and on. "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming and will dwell in your midst." And you know, who came and dwelt in the midst? Jesus came. God came. And says the Lord, "Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day." Well, what happened after Jesus came and he died and resurrected? It wasn't just a Jewish thing to be connected to the Lord. Many nations were connected to the Lord. "And they shall become my people, and I will dwell in your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. The Lord will take possession of Judah as his inheritance in the Holy Land, and will choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation." And so there you see, people from everywhere are coming to the Lord, and they're coming to Jerusalem because Jesus was from there. And then Haggai's prophecy, Haggai 2:9, the glory of this latter temple, and he's talking about the rebuilt temple, "shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts." Well, Solomon's temple was glorious, and it had parts of it that were made of solid gold, and it was just amazing. There was probably nothing ever built like it, and probably not since that, because we just don't have gold to build things with. The temple was rebuilt when Israel was conquered. They were sent there by the Persian king. They were given money to, they didn't have their own money to build it. They weren't a rich nation like they were under Solomon. But it says here in Haggai that this temple, the humbler temple, will be more glorious than Solomon's temple. And why is that? He says, "And in this place I will give peace." And how does he give peace? Well, that's through Jesus Christ. That's how he gives peace. And then it was this second temple that Jesus preached in, that Jesus taught in, that Jesus cleansed from the, you know, the robbers and the money changers. He chased them out of there. And the reason that temple was more glorious was Jesus was there. And he taught and he brought peace. We see that in Ephesians. Because he not only brought peace to Jerusalem, but he brought it to the Gentiles, and that's what it talked about in Psalm 87. These different nations, they would say about them, "This one is born here." Meaning, even though we were born in Chicago or Jamaica or other places, the Word of God says God's going to register us as citizens of Jerusalem. the New Jerusalem. That's our real home. So Ephesians says in Ephesians 2, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near. You know, we were far off from Jerusalem. Some of us have never been there. Eric has been there. But we've been brought near. And for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near, for through him both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. Notice what it says in Psalm 87. It says, this one is born here. Even though it's from Babylon, he's counted born in Zion. This one's born in Egypt, but he's counted born in Zion. And here we see the fulfillment of this. The Gentiles and people from Egypt were Gentiles. People from Babylon were Gentiles. People from Philistia were definitely Gentiles. You know, when David attacks Goliath, he calls him this uncircumcised Philistine. They were Gentiles. And so here he says, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And so we are not only in Jerusalem and part of fellow citizens, but we are actually the temple. We see something similar in Revelation 5, verse 9. I've read this verse many times. It says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, and people and nation. And the nations mentioned in Psalm 87:4 are representative of every nation. Revelation 5:9 talks about those who are redeemed by Christ, and according to Psalm 87:4, they're considered, as it says, born there, meaning born in Zion. And so even though we might have been born in other places, spiritually we're considered born there as people of God, citizens of the new Jerusalem. The rest of the psalm emphasizes this fact that we were born there. Notice the certain idea started in verse 4. This one was born there. And then in verse 5 it says, and of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High himself established her. The Lord will record when he registers the people, this one was born there. Salah. And the Salah means stop and think about this. At least that's what I think it means. And he's saying, this is how it'll be. Even though you were born in Egypt, even though you were born in Chicago, even though you were born in Jamaica, even though you were born in California, if you are in Christ, you were born there, meaning the New Jerusalem or Jerusalem. This is about being born again. I was born in Chicago physically, but spiritually I was born again in Zion. And this is what the Lord will write on our birth certificates. the official registration papers. Verse 6, the Lord will record when he registers the peoples, notice it says peoples. When it says peoples, that means nations other than Israel. And he says, when he registers the people, this one was born there, meaning in Jerusalem, which is interesting. And why is he doing that? Because he's going to count them all his people. We, though Gentiles, are children of Abraham in Christ. It says in Galatians 3:26-29, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Which means every promise that was given to a faithful Jew is given also to all other believers. Zion is the spring, the source from which all blessings flow. The last verse says, both the singers and the players on the instruments say, all my springs are in you. And by springs, what he means here is like a spring of water. If there's a spring, it sends up water. And what is a spring? It's the source. And when he says, all my springs are in you, he's not only saying that Jerusalem is the place where all the springs of blessings flow, but in God himself. Because that's why Jerusalem is special. Not because it's a special place compared to any other in and of itself. But why? Because God dwells there. And today the new Jerusalem is the people of God. He dwells in us. And so we're the spring from which the blessings flow to the whole world, to everybody else. That's what this psalm is saying. We are the spring. We are the source of blessings. We're the ones through whom Christ is made known. And so this is one of those psalms. You know, we don't think of it like Psalm 23 or Psalm 1. It's not as popular, but it has been popular. It's a psalm that has been sung about. And we'll sing that song pretty soon. And then we'll sing the last song. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for this psalm that shows us that we are your people and that you are registering us in the new Jerusalem with your son Jesus, with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, with Peter and Paul, and with all the others who are believers, the men and women that have gone before us and are even in heaven with you now, our family members who know you. All of them are there and they are yours and they are registered in heaven by you, and we thank you for that. And we pray each one of us would make our calling and election sure. And we thank you for a passage like this. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.